Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are artist Bridie Woleko. An exhibition of her work, Hypnagogia, is currently at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And Nick Apasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum, always a pleasure to have him on. And we're going to be talking about the 86th Regional Exhibition of Art and Craft, also at the Fitchburg Art Museum. Bridie, Nick, welcome to the show. Nick, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, Mark.
One of the things, Bridie, you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Before I talk to Bridie about her work, which I love, we got to talk about the 86th Regional Exhibition of Art and Craft.
All right.
This thing is amazing. When did it start? Or am I supposed to do the math in my head?
Well,
86 years ago. Good.
87 years ago, actually, because we had to skip a year because of the pandemic.
Oh, man.
So, but, you know, the Fitchburg Art Museum is soon going to be celebrating our 100th anniversary, though. So this has been a very important part of the culture and history of this museum for a very long time.
Holy moly. When is the 100th anniversary coming up?
Well, we get to choose, so.
What?
Yeah,
no, you don't.
Yes, we do. The museum
it's
was
math.
Incorporated
okay.
In 1925, and we opened to the public in 1929.
Oh, whoa.
So I think we're going to have a four-year celebration.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Oh, that's great. And congratulations. What a time to be on board as the director of that museum.
I know. It's very exciting.
It's really incredible. It's really cool. Now, you just finished this regional exhibition of art and craft. Was it always art and craft that was being exhibited?
I think it was. I think it was the regional exhibition of art and craft from the very first year.
Now, it's from, if you imagine a circle drawn around the Fitchburg Art Museum, it's 30 miles, right?
Right. It's any town that with any part of the town falls within the 30-mile radius.
And this is
an artist has to either live or work within those towns to be eligible for the regional exhibition.
Now, this is the longest running juried exhibition in New England?
It's certainly one of them. There may be one out there that I'm not aware of, but it's certainly.
Wow.
I have not run into one yet that's been running longer.
I've never been disappointed by one of these regional exhibitions. And the reason is there's so much work and it's varied. I defy people not to find something that they really enjoy in this exhibition. Talk to me about the process of jurying this. It must be incredible.
Well, we hire a different juror every year. You know, because if you hire the same juror every year, the show looks the same.
You're right. Good. And that's why he's the director.
Yeah, we don't jury the show ourselves. We always get an outside person to do it. And last year's juror, who chose Bridie as the winner, was Jamie Uretsky, who's now the curator at the Design Museum in Boston.
Wow.
So we get curators, gallery people, sometimes other artists, to do the jurying.
What guidance do you give them?
Not a whole lot, but I mean, we tell them roughly how many artworks will fit in the space.
Which is?
About 100.
Jesus. That's a lot of art.
That's a lot of art. We tell them, another thing that's important that we tell them is we ask them to respect traditional ways and styles of art making.
Instead of just picking like modernist, postmodernist.
All the contemporary stuff.
Yeah, got it.
Right. Because we have a wide variety of artists and craft makers within our region, and we want to make sure that everybody gets the chance to be represented.
Now, is it also important that they balance out sculpture and two-dimensional work?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Right.
It just has to be what they think is the best. And so this year, for example, we got almost 400 artworks submitted.
Oh, my God.
And the juror had to narrow it down to about 100. And there are something like 80-some different artists representing 40 different towns and cities.
Wow.
We get a lot of people submitting, and one of the reasons that this show has lasted for so long is because there just are not a lot of opportunities to exhibit artwork in North Central Massachusetts.
Isn't that amazing? And that's what makes this show so exciting, because it's just like a one-time thing once a year where you really feel like it's the people's show.
Right. Right.
I know that sounded sort of 60s, but that's because I was talking to Bridie.
No, but I agree. There aren't a lot of opportunities to exhibit artwork.
And you're in good company. I mean, you're at the Fitchburg Art Museum, which is a renowned museum, and you're in good company with the other artists too. And it's really interesting to see your work or your friend's work up with other artists and how it compares and how it contrasts. I find the show just really incredible, and as a feat, as something that you do, Nick, getting it on the wall. And I know from working at the Worcester Art Museum, that is no mean feat. And people usually just think, oh, you just slap it on the wall.
No, you don't.
You try to balance things out and you make it look good.
Always a big challenge for our curators.
Yeah.
Because it's not the juror who designs the show. The juror just hands the curators the list of 100 or so artwork. And then our curators have to somehow make visual sense of this extreme variety
and
make everything play nice together. And it's a challenge, because usually curators, when they're putting shows together, they're part of the entire process.
That's right.
Who the artists are going to be. They know what the artworks are going to be. They're already thinking about exhibition design as they're selecting artworks. This just turns the whole thing on its head, and it's like an exhibition design boot camp.
It really is, and I don't take it lightly. I just am amazed, and I've talked to the curators about putting it up. It is an experience to go through. It's like no other show that you're ever going to do.
That's right.
Wow. If you can survive this show and make it look good, then you're set for life. Now, I got to talk to Bridie, and I'll get back to you, Nick, in a bit. Bridie, you were last year's first prize winner in this show. And that's one of the other great things about this exhibition, is that the first prize winner gets an individual exhibition the following year. Were you excited when you won?
Yeah, I first found out, I don't know, I had this feeling like I was pretty confident, I'll just say that.
Whoa.
I put a lot of energy, time, and effort into the collage that I created for the 85th regional exhibit at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And I was just feeling really good, and I found out by just rolling over early morning in bed, checking my email, you know, had an email notification on my cell phone. I think I was turning off my alarm or something. And it was from, you know, Fitchburg Art Museum, just saying, like, you took first prize. And, like, I was just elated. Like,
I can imagine.
A dream or something. So, yeah, it was really exciting.
Now, all the work in this exhibition has never been exhibited before, correct?
Correct.
Now, describe your work generally. It's collage and assemblage work, right?
Yep. So I do mixed media collage. So usually there's some painted element to the pieces as well, combining acrylic paint backgrounds mostly with collaged paper on top of it. Sometimes it, you know, it mingles together. Sometimes, you know, they are in stark contrast. And then I also do assemblage sculpture. So I adhere objects with wire to, like, faces, like a mannequin form or chicken wire, stuff like that.
Let's talk about the pieces that are up right now at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And I want to mention that all this is going to be up to September 4th. And it's www.fitchburgartmuseum.org if you want details of when the museum is open and hours. I love your collage pieces. I'm a natural history person. I teach classes in birds and stuff like that. And so when I confront a lot of your works, I find myself meticulously going through the little details of them, and I get lost in it, identifying all the things that are in your collages. And I love that.
Thank you.
You also use natural materials. You use things like jewelweed other natural materials. Talk to me about it. How hard is that to incorporate those things into your collages?
Well, I live in Lunenburg, which is a bordering town of Fitchburg. It's becoming a little more suburban, like year after year. I lived here for 6 years. When we first moved here, it felt more rural. and so we have a pretty big backyard, and we go hiking a lot. We have various hiking trails just down the street from us.
Nice.
And so I just collect tons of natural objects when I'm out either in my yard or hiking, like tons of pine cones, bird feathers, bird nests. Some stuff that, you wouldn't be able to find, like, in a more urban environment. So,
well, I love the fact that you incorporated jewelweed into the, now, see if I can pronounce this correctly, Xochiquetzal?
I think it's Xochiquetzal.
Okay, that sounds better.
I'm not sure.
But it's so surprising to see natural materials like that in a collage. You also have Queen's Anne's Lace in another one, of Mother Nature and Tina Turner. And moss and other stuff. Is it tough to get those? This is going to be a dumb question, but it's one that people are going to want to know. Is it tough to get it fixed?
Recently I got super into epoxy resin cast and molds.
Yep.
So it's a little bit of an experiment every time. I don't know the exact process of like preserving organic objects and casting them in resin. The resin heats up when it's setting. So sometimes it can just bleach all the color out of something like a flower or melt things. sometimes I'm pretty disappointed by the end result because it takes at least 24 hours for it to set up and be able to take it out of the mold. But sometimes the natural objects come out like fantastically, and the resin is clear, and it just looks like it's preserved now for hundreds of years, like almost in glass or something. So
it's very alchemical sounding.
Yeah, like,
and that's a big part of your work is sort of the occult.
Yep. Like Nick came to visit me over the winter and check out my work, and he just came up with the term alchemy to describe a lot of what I was doing. I was like, that's pretty spot on, transforming, things into other things.
It is. Is that why you also have a lot of butterflies and moths in your work? Because it's also metamorphical?
I think so. Aside from just like loving the beauty of insects and wanting to use them in my work, I think it's a good metaphor for like the transformative process that my work takes on.
You also incorporate pop stars like Selma Hayek is in one, as is Tina Turner, and then I came across one I actually had to look up, Inga Rumpf. So talk to me about Inga Rumpf.
I believe she's still living. She's a German singer. I most appreciate her work with a band called Frumpy.
Yep.
From Germany, 60s and 70s, like hard rock, progressive German rock bands. I went to Berklee College of Music. I'm a huge music nerd, and I love, obscure and underground rock and roll. So I listen to it when I'm, creating art, and it's just made its way like into the visual aspects of my work as well.
Does she sing in German?
No, she sings in English, but it's kind of like broken English. So
okay. Oh, cool.
Sometimes it doesn't make any sense.
So it's like ABBA.
A little bit, yeah.
No, she's in a piece that you made called The Druid. Of all people, why did you associate her with the Druids?
If you watch there's a lot of live performance videos of theirs on YouTube. So I like watching those. She just embodies hippie. Like she has really, really long red hair, straight red hair, like under her back. And just the clothes that she's wearing, she just looks very earthy. And, you know, some of the things that they're singing about just, like, inspired me to turn her into a druid.
Fantastic. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Bridie Woleko. An exhibition of her work titled Hypnagogia is currently on view at the Fitchburg Art Museum. I'm slapping myself. And Nick Capasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum. And it's always a pleasure to have him down. And we've been talking about the 86th Regional Exhibition of Art and Craft, which is up till September 4th. And also Hypnagogia, which is what Bridie, you have to see Bridie's work. One of my favorite works, and I'm sure it's a lot of people's favorite work, is the Baba Yaga hut renovation.
Yeah.
That's like, and for people who don't know, I think a lot of people may not be familiar with Baba Yaga. As soon as I saw the piece, before I even read the title, I knew what it was about.
Yeah.
Because if you've talked to me about who Baba Yaga is.
She's a witch from Russian folklore, Slavic folklore, I think dating, you know, all the way back to, like, you know, maybe the 16th, 17th century. She's just not your typical witch. Like, she lives in a house built on chicken legs in the woods.
It can walk around, right?
They can walk around.
Yep.
Yep. And, like, I've been introduced to that image through, you know, many different sources, like having my elementary school teachers, like, read the story at story time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But also it's really, like, become a big part of video game culture as well. Like, I think that other artists are inspired by this image of a house on chicken legs, so they work it into their video game stories as well. And then she also flew around in a, I think it was a pipe, not a spoon or a pipe. So not a broomstick. She flew around
That's right.
So just kind of putting a spin, like a different spin on some of the classic things we associate with witches.
Just hearing you talk about these works is great because it really gives you a sense of what really turns you on, what really interests you, and the kind of
weird
visuals.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's really Rebecca's first trip.
Yeah.
So was that from is that from Licking Toads? Because there's a toad prominent in that piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. You know, just playing with.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Drug culture.
Hey, I lived through the '60s. I know about this. Now, I've never licked. You know, it's only cane toads
that.
I think it's only cane toads that you can lick.
Oh, okay.
Don't just go around licking a toad from here because you'll just kind of get a sick stomach. No, you have to lick. You have to lick cane toads.
Cane toads. C-A-I-N.
Yeah. What happens is they were imported into Australia to fight cane weevils. They were native to, like, the South Pacific or to South America. They quickly went. They bred out of bounds to the point where there are cane toads everywhere. And then people found out that they secrete, as most toads do, a toxic substance, but you can get high from it. And there are literally people who are cane toad addicts.
Is this still going on today?
Oh, yeah. And there's a great, a legendary, and I strongly recommend this, there's a documentary about cane toads called Cane Toads. And I recommend it highly because it'll tell you all the other weird things that people do with cane toads. They dress them up. They also go around purposely killing because they're eating everything else in Australia. They're eating all the fish. Mm. They're eating all the native frogs. So they're a problem. But there are people who love them. But I love the fact that you included toad looking in your piece. I have to admit, when I saw your work, I laughed a lot. And I love the visuals. The visuals are beautiful. But it's not too often that you get an art exhibition that you can actually start laughing about. And I thought it was just great. I thought it was fantastic.
I'm so happy to hear you say that because that was one of my intentions with the work. Like, just if you have a twisted sense of humor, you find it funny.
Well, you're talking to the right person here.
Good.
And the other thing that I love is I love the fact that a lot of times you may have to look stuff up. Ediphagia. I did not.
Yeah.
I was amazed that I was not familiar with that. And that's
He's a very, very not well-known.
No.
Got it.
No.
Yeah.
There's only one temple known in Sicily to her.
Yeah. I could only, I mean, I'm like you. I just, you know, Google everything. I was trying, I came up with the idea first of having this bust sculpture dedicated to technology.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, how can I tie this in with the rest of the show? And then I thought, I really hope there's a goddess out there associated either with technology or with just, gluttonous behavior.
Yeah.
The way we're also tied to our screens these days. And I found one, and there's literally like one little sentence about her in all of the internet. But I was like, this is it. It was, you know, it was meant to be. So she ended up being the inspiration behind the piece.
Well, and that also points out, I love the fact that you have to do all this research to produce a piece to inspire your imagery. I love that about the work, that there's a lot of intellectual input beside the beautiful work that you do. I think that's really cool. Anything that makes me look up stuff, I'm happy about.
Yeah, good. I want it to be a learning experience. So
it is. You know, it may sound like we're joking about it, but there's so much stuff there. Bring your phone so you can look it up while you're there. When did you start doing collages and assemblages? Did you always do it? Did you start out doing regular 2D work?
No, I've always been a painter and a drawer. And it wasn't until the pandemic that I really got into collaging and assemblage. And what coincided with that as well is that my husband and I adopted a 2-week-old infant during the pandemic.
What?
So, yeah.
That was a good idea.
Our first baby.
Oh, you know? My God. So you're going through the pandemic and having a child.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, we've been wanting to start a family for years, and so it finally happened, and we weren't going to let the pandemic get in our way.
Great.
And one of the outcomes of that, though, was that, you know, normally I paint. I use oil paints and acrylics. They're really messy. I get covered in paint. They're hard to clean up, and they're hard to
store
afterwards. Takes a lot. Yeah, takes a lot of.
It's not good around a young child.
No. And so I had to be ready, at the drop of a hat to just switch gears if he woke up from a nap early crying.
So that's why
I turned to paper, cutting paper. You know, there's other than cleaning up a little bit of glue, it didn't involve the same level of maintenance.
Beautiful.
That I think painting does. So
it's amazing because I've been doing numbers of artist interviews in the last couple of months, and it's amazing how the pandemic changed the course of a lot of their work.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it's permanently changed, or are you going to go back to painting?
I don't know. I'm still really enjoying doing mixed media and collage work.
Yeah,
it's provided me some amazing new opportunities, like having the solo show at the museum. So I think it's been good to me. So my plan is to stick with it for a while, I guess. And so, you know, and then I could totally switch gears and go back to doing like realistic, you know, landscape oil painting. Like,
where's the fun in that?
Yeah, I know. This is way more fun. And honestly, like the idea of doing like a realistic still life or something just is kind of boring right now. Like, I think it's good practice. You know,
it's like on one hand you have like some pears and in a bowl, and then toad licking on the other hand.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like I would go for the toad licking always.
Or maybe there's a way to combine the two, like do a hyper-realistic painting of pears, but then, you know, do a
hyper-realistic painting of toad licking.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know. I'd have to get your input on that.
These toad lickers are in that documentary on cane toads. Trust me, it's a legendary documentary. There's even music that's been written about cane toads. Everybody who has seen it has come away changed.
All right. It's on my to watch list. Thank you for the tip.
I'm you're the kind of artist that I want to see where your art is. Like every year, I want to check in and see what you're doing next. Because this was a refreshing and interesting, and as I mentioned, a fun show. As is the entire exhibition of the 86th Regional Exhibition of Art and Crafts. It's sort of breathtaking to me that a museum of the caliber of the Fitchburg Art Museum does this, and it's great. So, Nick, can you just tell me the essentials of the show? It's going to be up till September 4th?
That's right.
What are the museum hours?
Okay, we are open Monday through Friday from noon to 4.
Wow.
Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 5. And on the first Thursday of each month, we're open for free, and we're open until 7 in the evening.
You're open 7 days a week? I never knew that. I thought you were closed Monday.
No. We are closed. No. On the first Thursday of the month, we're open from...
Okay.
I
thought you said that you were open. I thought you said you were open Monday and Tuesday, but you're not.
No.
Okay. No. Good. Because you got to rest. And I love the fact that you do a free day, too. And that's something special that art museums don't do an awful lot. But please come out and check this show. It is really worth your time and effort to go see. And who's the winner this year?
This year's winner is an artist named Andreas Alvarez Bacchus.
What kind of work?
It's sort of like it's multimedia work.
Okay,
but it's very. It's hard to describe. It's like he's playing around with the painting tradition, but using objects and fabric.
Cool.
And actually, I have my first studio visit with him coming up.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. My guests tonight have been Bridie Wileko. An exhibition of her work called Hypnagogia is currently on view at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And a friend of the station, and we always enjoy having him here, Nick Capasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum. We've been talking about the 86th Regional Exhibition of Art and Craft up till September 4th. Bridie and Nick, it's a pleasure talking to you both.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
This is Mark Lynch. You're listening to Inquiry. Good night.